Hello guys, it is May 12th, 2021. I'm your host Doc J, and you guys are listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual. So, I know I've been on hiatus for quite some time. First, I want to thank everyone who listens to this channel. Thank you guys for the love and support you have given me through this time. And I want to give a shout out to my listeners in Dubai and Germany. I didn't even know I had international listeners, guys. So it's very cool to look at the algorithm on Anchor and find out that I have those listeners. Guys, tell your friends. Please subscribe to the channel. I also have some great news as well. Coming soon, we are going to be launching a Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and other streaming platforms really soon. And so I'm going to make sure that Ball for the Filthy Casual can be inseminated down to everybody, because we all know, if you're talking to that special lady and she knows more about basketball than you do, that really this is the channel you need to be listening to. All right, today we're going to be talking about the very subjective MVP race, which is happening right now in the NBA. So if you guys didn't know, MVP is an award that was started in 1955. And basically what I've been able to find as far as criteria is not much. It goes to the best performing player during the regular season. And as we all know, that is very subjective. So I was kind of looking through the ESPN MVP favorites, and we're going to talk about them. Plus today we're going to talk about who is worth being in the conversation. We're also going to talk about who is not worth being in the conversation. You guys might be a little surprised, but hey, that's why you listen to this channel. Once again, guys, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. We're just going to keep riding this crazy tidal wave, and we're going to see how big we can get. You know, if we get to a certain point, you guys can be like, you know what, I was listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual way before it's popular. I'm an OG fan. We all know that everyone loves to be into things before they're cool. All right, so at number five, we have Chris Paul. Okay, so what I've noticed from listening to national analysts is that there's always a narrative, right? There's always a narrative of how MVP should go, especially since it's a regular season award. And, you know, I get it. I understand that Chris Paul, wherever he goes, the man's like King Midas. He has the golden touch. You know, he went to Houston, made them astronomically better, you know, and if it wasn't for his injury, I believe in the 2017-2018 playoffs, when they had Golden State on the ropes, Houston very well could have gone all the way to the finals and probably won that as well. So Chris Paul, I understand why we're talking about him as MVP. Okay, he went to Oklahoma. When he went to the Thunder, no one expected him to be able to do anything with that team. You know, he went there in a trade for Russell Westbrook and a bunch of picks, I believe. You know, OKC is sitting pretty fat on picks over the next 5 years. And if you don't think they're dangerous now, which they're not, they definitely will be, because they're just going to be able to pick and choose the young talent, really cultivate them into superstars. So Chris Paul goes to OKC, right? They make the playoffs. They get bounced last year in the first round against Harden and the Rockets. But it really put a stamp on what Chris Paul is able to do for a team when he goes somewhere. You know, Chris Paul is phenomenal. He's a locker room guy. He's the kind of guy you really want in your locker room. He's a great veteran. He gives a plethora of information. I mean, there's a quote by Deontay Ayton, saying that while he's been in Phoenix, he has made Ayton better, and he's definitely made Devin Booker better. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate later when we talk about worth the conversation. Right now, I'm just giving you guys the ESPN MVP favorites. We're going to talk about them and move on. Also, another point to make is that the Suns will be making the playoffs for the first time in a decade. I mean, they're very relevant. They're the number two seed. They've been battling with the Jazz for the number one seed, which we'll talk about later. But they're definitely, in my opinion, is some merit, because he's performing just out of his gourd. The guy's a madman on the floor, and I love watching him. Number four, we have Steph Curry. Okay, so Steph Curry, even though his team right now is struggling and they will be in the play-in tournament, they're stuck at the eighth seed. Stephen Curry is must see TV. I mean, the guy is Showtime. He's box office, you know, and he draws crowds not just from Golden State, but if you're a basketball fan, I mean, it's hard to not appreciate what Stephen Curry has done for the game, and what he just continues to do. I mean, this man could literally shoot from half court blindfolded, you know, and if you gave him 10 shots, I bet he'd make 4 of them, which is crazy to think about. He's one of the greatest shooters, if not the greatest shooter ever, so I can understand why there would also be talk as him as an MVP favorite. I mean, he's averaging right now 31 points, and he is the leading scorer in the NBA. So once again, he is performing. I think even if he doesn't make MVP this year, this was his year for sure. He came to a team that was riddled with injury. You know, Klay Thompson has not been able to play. They lost a ton of talent when Kevin Durant decided to walk away from the team and join the Nets. But we have to look at what Stephen Curry is doing. And the whole reason they're even in the playoffs right now, as I predicted, by the way, if you go and listen to episode 2, you can see that, is Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry. You know, even if they don't have Klay Thompson, even if they don't have Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry is one of the greatest point guards, if not the greatest point guard to ever play the game. Third, we have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay, so Giannis obviously should be in the conversation because he won it the past 2 years in a row. And the criteria, at least from my eye for that, was he was the best player on the best team. And I get that. I totally understand that. Giannis is averaging another triple-double. The guy is fantastic. He's also much must-see TV. And he has a great supporting cast around him. I think the Bucks right now are ranked number 3 in the standings, if I am not mistaken. I'm going to have to check on that, guys. But all more reason for Giannis to really be over Stephen Curry, not necessarily Chris Paul, because in my opinion, even though, you know, MVP is very subjective, by the way, yes, Milwaukee is number 3, guys, just so we're tracking on that. You know, like, you have to give credit to him. Give credit where credit is due. So they're the number 3 seed. They're in the top 4. You know, they're sitting very comfortably in that position. So Giannis has to be in that conversation. Number 2 is Joel Embiid. So once again, Joel Embiid is one of those guys where if you're a diehard basketball fan, you respect him, but you hate the fact that he doesn't play for your team. You know, and if you're a Philly fan, you worship this guy. This is the guy you build a statue of. You know, Joel Embiid is an incredible player, just an absolute monster on the floor, and he really does embody the evolution of what the big is becoming. He can still protect the rim, he's great in the post, he has a pretty decent jump shot, and the man can put up a 3, so he can space the floor for you. I really think that in the next 5 to 7, even 10 years, that is going to be where basketball is headed, is just positionless basketball. But the evolution of the big is very important. I mean, I think it first really started, when you had guys like Kevin Durant, who is, you know, the greatest debate of all time is how tall really is Kevin Durant. You know, you hear 6'10", you hear 6'11", you hear 7 foot. He's somewhere within this 3-inch range. But the man can dribble. He can pass the ball. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. He's not the best defender, but that doesn't mean he can't swat a ball when it's coming up in the post. So full circle, Joel Embiid should definitely be on this list. The reason I'm kind of worried is because he has missed quite a bit of basketball, just with lingering injuries, but that's also going to lead us to number 1. So number 1 in the ESPN rankings for who's going to be the MVP favorite right now is Nikola Jokic. Now the question is, can you really deny that man that, you know, ever since Jamal Murray got hurt. Jamal, bless your soul, man. I wish you a speedy recovery. It was absolutely heartbreaking, especially if you're a Denver fan, to see that he tore his ACL. He's going to be out the rest of this season. He could be out for most of next season as well, which is just so unfortunate because Jamal Murray is an incredible player. He's like the Aladdin of basketball, man. Like, this guy is smooth. He's swift. He can get you a bucket, you know. He's legit, man. I love watching Jamal Murray. And I was super bummed to find out that he was hurt. But I also thought, I was like, well, you know, Denver's playoff chances are done. You know what I mean? And remarkably, they've been winning 66% of their games since they lost Jamal Murray. Now, a lot of that has to do with Michael Porter Jr. really starting to play to the standard of where Denver thought he could play at. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Denver has the greatest scouting team in the NBA. Okay, they found Donovan Mitchell. They found Rudy Gobert. They got Nikola Jokic. They found Jamal Murray. And they found Michael Porter Jr. All of those guys are superstars or will be superstars one day. And all of them except for Jamal and Porter have become all-stars as well. And Jamal, I think that one day that man is, he's definitely not going to be overlooked anymore and he is going to be an all-star. Hopefully it's when he returns. I hope that he returns 100%. Because if you don't like Jamal Murray, you don't like basketball. Okay, so those are the top five right now, according to ESPN, who are really in the MVP conversation. All right, so let's move on to our next topic. Let's talk about who is worth talking about and who should be in the conversation. So this is where I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, okay? Because we have Chris Paul at number five. Chris Paul is not averaging a double-double. Double bubble. So Chris Paul doesn't have the best numbers that he's had in his career playing in the NBA. However, the narrative is that he has elevated the Sun team to the Suns to a point of relevancy for the first time in a decade. I'm cool with that argument. In fact, I'm very cool with Chris Paul being in that conversation. But we have to understand that if we're going to make that argument for Chris Paul, and same with Giannis, okay, we have to make an argument for Rudy Gobert. Because currently, Rudy Gobert is the best player on the best team in the NBA. And if you look at the past two MVPs, which Giannis won, and rightfully so, the dude is a stud, the Greek freak, the man, the myth, the legend. We have to understand that he won those awards because he was legitimately the best player on the best team. Okay, and now we're making that same narrative for Chris Paul. And that's fine. I'm totally all about that. But you have to add Rudy Gobert in that conversation. I can already hear my fans, Doc J, what are you talking about? You're talking crazy talk. Rudy's not that good. But he is. That's the thing. You have to understand, and I don't, you know, this is ball for the filthy casual. This isn't a Jazz podcast. But you guys know I live in Utah, and I love my Jazz. You have to understand, I'm sure that if you guys have watched a ton of basketball, you have noticed, Rudy will change the shot selection against any player he plays against, always. All of a sudden, going to the rim is no longer an easy basket. It's the hardest basket to get on the floor. And that's something the Jazz excel at, and that's why they have such a terrific defense, is because you're not going to get into the post. And defense wins championships, even though defense is not as sexy as offense. And not to mention, Rudy is also averaging that triple-double. So I think that's really worth looking into. If we're going to talk about Chris Paul and Giannis, we got to talk about, and even Nikola Jokic, we have to talk about Rudy Gobert as well. Now, I know Rudy is not as good as Nikola Jokic, or really Joel Embiid. But if you don't have Rudy as a top 3-5 center in the NBA, you should probably reevaluate your rankings, guys. That's all I'm saying. All right, next guy who is worth being in the conversation. Bradley Beal. Okay. Bradley Beal is, in my opinion, the most underrated shooting guard there is. I mean, this guy is constantly disrespected. Last year, he led the league in scoring and wasn't even named an all-star. Absolute travesty. Absolutely ridiculous. And I know where the Wizards are sitting. I know you guys are like, Doc, but Doc J, the Wizards are in the 10th seed. How can you even say Bradley Beal should be the MVP? Well, once again, the MVP is an award that's very subjective, and it goes to the best performing player during the regular season. So if we're going to make the argument for Steph Curry, which, once again, I'm totally fine with that. I'm on the Stephen Curry train. I have been ever since I came back from Germany, and I really started to watch him religiously, you know? You have to make that same argument for Bradley Beal. I mean, Curry is in the play-in tournament. They're not sitting at number 4. They're not sitting at number 3. they're sitting at number 8. And Bradley Beal is at number 10. So we have to, once again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I think it's very important that if you're going to talk about Steph Curry, you should also talk about Bradley Beal. All right, my last worth the conversation. Actually, I got two more. Is going to be Damian Lillard. Okay, so here's the thing about Dame that I love. This man is a loyalist to the Portland Trail Blazers front office and their franchise. This man has gone on record several times saying, you know, I don't need to play for a big franchise. I want to win here. I love that mentality. It's old school. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's Michael Jordan old school. You know, Carmelo, some of the greats, Patrick Ewing. You stay on that team. You stay on that team. You be loyal to that team. And you show everyone how good you are. I love that mentality. I'm not opposed to super teams. I know that that's a thing. And, you know, it is what it is. And in today's NBA, let's be honest, you need at least two all-stars if you really want to make a run at the title. That's just the truth. So I understand that, but Dame Lillard, I believe, let's take a look right now at the rankings and see where Portland's at. Okay, Portland's sitting at number 5. Okay, and they're tied with the Dallas Mavericks, who are also 40-29, who are sitting in the 6th seed, and that's going to segue into my last guy who's worth being in the conversation. We got to talk about the young man, the Don, Luka Doncic. So let's take a look really quick at Luka's stats, and let's just see what he's kind of piecing together. You know, I'm sure it's going to be something out of control. All right, 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. Remember, it's 8.6, but we round up here. This man is 22 years old. Okay, and at the beginning of the season, I stated that the Dallas Mavericks' success would really be predicated on the health of Kristaps Porzingis. And I still believe that to be true. But the way that Luka is playing, he's showing everyone that he has the potential to just take your team wherever you want to go. I mean, they're sitting in the 5th seed. They're making the playoffs. Or the 6th seed, excuse me. So they're making the playoffs. That's happening. And that's fantastic. That's absolutely mind-boggling. So Luka, once again, and if we're just... Because the narrative this year is that, well, you know, we're not going to give it to the best player on the best team, which would be Rudy Gobert, just because of the constant disrespect that Utah receives and really small franchises overall. The narrative is always... big market teams. I mean, that's why there's even an argument for Julius Randle, who has made him and Tom Thibodeau have made the Knicks relevant for the first time in almost my entire life. Good for them. But if we're going to place these guys in that narrative, it's very important that we start to recognize the other guys who, you know, the other guys, great movie, like Rudy Gobert, who deserve to be mentioned. And it's honestly a travesty that he's not mentioned. And a lot of it is just because of how these narratives go down. When you watch ESPN, when you watch, you know, I'm not trying to call people out here, especially my boy Kendrick Perkins. He's always sticking up for the Jazz. I love you, Kendrick. But you have guys like Jalen Rose, Stephen A., Max Kellerman, Nick Wright. No one's giving Utah or even Phoenix really a fair crack at this MVP talk. There is a little bit for Chris Paul, but even, I mean, it's non-existent for Rudy Gobert. And that to me is just kind of a travesty. It's really sad to see. Same with Damian Lillard, you know, and even Luka Doncic, who is one day going to be the best player in the NBA. For him to not be receiving, you know, at least some MVP conversation is somewhat silly to me. All right, so who is not worth being in the conversation? Guys, don't get up in arms on me. Don't shoot the messenger. But LeBron James, there's absolutely no way this man can be talked about in the same conversation with anyone else. The reason is because he's missed half the season. Okay? You have to play the regular season to be in the conversation for MVP. And unfortunately, the same goes for James Harden. James Harden hasn't played a game since March 31st, okay? So I don't know if that's a lot of injury or load management or a combination of both, But we can't be talking about these high-profile superstars and just giving them awards when they're missing half the season. That's absolutely ridiculous. So let's also try to establish just a little bit of criteria maybe for next season. So, and if you guys have any criteria, please email me at ballforthefilthycasual@gmail.com. You guys know I love taking questions, concerns, or comments. Guys, you need to subscribe to this channel as well. But let's start this criteria. So what about having to be within the top four seeds and averaging at least a double-double? I don't think that is too much to ask for the MVP, because I think Kenny the Jet Smith and the great Sir Charles Barkley said it the best. A good star or an all-star affects one aspect of the game. A superstar or MVP caliber player affects multiple assets of the game. So if that's assists and points, if that's rebounds and points, assists and rebounds, whatever. You know, I think that there should be just a little bit more realistic criteria as to what we are looking for when awarding MVP. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Once again, I can't do this without your support. I have so much love for all my listeners. Shout out once again to my international listeners in Dubai and Germany. You guys rock. Please tell all your friends about this channel. Subscribe to the channel and leave me some comments. You guys can email me at ballforthefilthycasual@gmail.com. Guys, this is episode 7. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week.